The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thank God it's Friday. Thank God we're doing it live. We got Joe Biden in Madison, Wisconsin. And I got to tell you, folks, I just made it here moments ago. We're doing it, you know, we're doing it coming in hot, as Dom would say. So, very excited to bring you Joe Biden's speech in Madison today. And I can tell you, first take, he was hot. He was also coming in hot today. Joe Biden came to Madison with enthusiasm. The crowd was very fired up by the time Joe Biden made it to the stage. Wasn't just Crudy feeling the heat. That crowd of, I would say, hundreds. It was in a middle school gymnasium. And it was packed to the gills. It was getting a little warm and humid up in there. And so, anyways, Rich is here with me today, and Rich is going to help me get through this special edition because we want you to hear the president when he comes to our town. So we are going to save the president's speech for the 4 o'clock hour so the broader audience can hear it. But stay with me on this, Rich. We're going to play the Earl Ingram interview with Joe Biden, our buddy. Earl Ingram got famouser over the course of the last couple days. Wednesday, and Earl had told me, hey, I'm getting the president. And they threatened to put the president on Earl's show. No one ever threatened to put the president on the Devil's Advocates radio show. Not clear why. Less controllable? I'm not clear. But Earl got President Joe Biden, and I think he's sort of the unofficial first interview post-bad debate for Joe Biden. And Joe is doing a very important interview, some would say, with Stephanopoulos over on the ABC pre-record. But we're going to do Earl Ingram's interview with President Joe Biden. And we're going to be joined by one of the subjects, Earl, not the president, unfortunately. Although you could call us as well today, Joe, lightly screened at 844-967-2789. So, Rich, you line up the Earl, and I will line up the man himself. We'll get his impressions of the president and wonder if Earl heard the speech. Maybe you'll hear it on our little program. Play for the people, Rich.
President Biden, it is an honor and a privilege to have you appear on the Civic Media Radio Network and especially the Earl Ingram Show. I have a few questions that I'd like to ask you, sir.
Fire away, man.
Can you speak to some accomplishments that we may or may not be familiar with about your record, especially here in Wisconsin?
Well, there's a number of them. For example, back in March, I was in Milwaukee. I announced $36 million for the Sixth Street Project to reconnect communities, helping families and businesses come together. You know, we built highways back in those days, separate communities, breaking up businesses, breaking up economic opportunities. And we're rebuilding them to connect those communities. I'm proud to be running for re-election as a president who's made his promises, and I've kept them. For example, I promised we'd get through this toughest time in history, and because we were left after the pandemic, which my opponent has absolutely screwed up, causing the deaths of millions of, well, not millions, but over a million people died. And we resulted in sending $1,400 checks to people who were in trouble. We created 15.6 million jobs. Inflation was brought down, it's continuing to come down, and we're going to lower prices for groceries and gasoline and the rest for our average people, and particularly in the Black community and minority communities. And I promise we take on big pharma. The pharmaceutical companies are ripping us off and ripping everybody off. And so now, for example, anybody you know who has a diabetes, needs insulin, they only have to pay 30, it only cost $8 for these guys to make it. $35 is the maximum they can charge now. And we set a cap that's on the law now, that the cap's at $2,000. All the prescriptions that anyone as a senior would need. And some of these drugs cost, or cancer drugs cost $10,000, $12,000, $14,000. And I want to do that for everybody in America, everybody. Now, that's cap, 1.3 million Wisconsin Medicare beneficiaries get that benefit. More Black families have health coverage through the ACA, the old Obamacare, than ever before, because so many, as you know, so many Black families have pre-existing conditions when they try to go get insurance. If they have a pre-existing condition, they can't get that insurance. This provides that for them. They're able to get insurance, and I just increased that by $800 per person to be able to afford it. And in addition to that, we're building Black wealth. The result, Black wealth, excessive pandemic is up 60%. There's a hell of a lot more to do, but it's up. Black home ownership is up. You know, you build a home on one side of a superhighway that's in a white community, and build the same home on the other side of the superhighway in a Black community. The Black community home is all immediately assessed at somewhere between 20 and 40% less in value than the home in the white community. It's wrong. It's simply wrong. We're changing that. Black-owned small businesses are starting up faster than any time in decades. There's over 220,000 new Black business applications in Wisconsin alone. We're investing hundreds of millions of dollars in small businesses in this state. You're giving people a chance to start a small business. I promised to relieve student debt. The result is $2.3 billion in student loan debt relief for over 60,000 borrowers in Wisconsin, many of them Black borrowers. And by the way, HBCUs have, and their students are as bright as students anywhere else, but they don't have the endowments to set up the laboratories for the jobs of the future. So I've been able to provide, and I promised I'd do it, $16 billion just since I've been elected, invested in HBCUs. So they're going to be able to put out the best folks in the world because they have the capacity to do it. There's a lot more, but in addition to that, anyway, I'm probably talking too long, but I come out of the Black community in terms of being elected the first time back when I was 29, and the source of my support, and it is, look, anyway.
You've already, President Biden, you've already answered a question, too, that I wanted to ask you. What's at stake for Black voters this election? I think you've done a great job explaining, what's at stake.
There's one other thing, look. The fact is, I promised that when I got elected, I would have an administration that looked like America, looked like America. I serve as the first Black president in American history. I picked a Black woman to be my vice president. I've appointed the first Black woman to be a Supreme Court justice, who in fact is just as smart as hell, Ketanji Brown and Jackson. And in addition to that, we're more working in a position that we have provided for, I've appointed more Black judges, more Black women judges than every other president in American history combined. Because it's important, representation is important. They have to have a voice, and that gives them a voice, gives the Black community a voice. And, and there's a lot at stake here. I mean, I got a guy I'm running against who's embracing political violence, pledging to rule as a dictator on day one, attacking the right to vote. He's been attacking the right to vote since a long, long time. and he's going to make the wealthy and large corporations pay their, I'm going to make sure they pay their fair share. He's going to double down on tax breaks for them. And he wants to strengthen, I want to strengthen Medicare and Social Security. He wants to cut Social Security and Medicare. Imagine what that means for the elderly black community. I mean, it just is amazing. And look, he is just, I'm sorry to get so worked up, but he is just, he's done terrible things to the community, and he has about as much interest and concern for black and minority communities as the man in the moon does.
So as a person of color, I am excited about you getting worked up. Question three, I got a couple more questions, President Biden.
Sure.
A lot of people have been told or have the mindset that their vote doesn't matter. What can you say to them?
What I can say is the vote of the black community matters intensely. Look, it make up a significant portion of the American population. Who's going to represent you except folks like me? And we're not going to be able to represent you if you're not showing up. In fact, to vote, it matters. Your voice has to be heard. Lots of close elections the last couple of years, and every vote counts. Understand that for far too long, black community, black Americans often love their country a hell of a lot more than their countries love them, and haven't loved them back in equal measure. Because folks like you turn out to vote in 2020, we have made remarkable progress. The president is the most powerful office in the world, but we need someone with wisdom and character. We need someone who's going to make sure that the Supreme Court just issued a decision, by the way, that threatens American principle that we have no kings in America. There's no one above the law. That's what we gave Donald Trump the power to use a system that is just never contemplated by our founders because of the people he appointed to the court. It's just presidential immunity. He can say that I did this in my capacity as an executive. It may have been wrong, but I did it. But that's going to hold and this is the same guy who says that he wants to enact revenge, he wants to organize a coup. He said, I want to rule as a dictator. The stakes are really high. I know you know this. For democracy, for freedom, our economics, our economy are all on the line. And the other side is working overtime to chip away at your right to vote to begin with. And we're working harder and harder to protect that right to vote.
Folks, you're listening to a very special edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. Joe Biden in Madison, we're going to play you his speech. But what you're hearing is the Earl Ingram exclusive with President Joe Biden, the first interview anyone did with the president after the debate. Stick around. More of Earl's interview with President Joe. You're listening to a very special Friday edition of the Devil's Advocates. Joe Biden in my hometown, Madison. We'll get to that soon. Here's the rest of Earl Ingram interviewing Joe Biden exclusively on Wednesday.
President Biden, let's talk about the debate. Can you address some of the concerns about your performance and Trump's ridiculous remark about black jobs?
Well, look, two things. One, I had a bad night. And the fact of the matter is that, I screwed up. I made a mistake. But I learned from my father, when you get knocked down, just get back up. Get back up. And, we're going to win this election. We're going to just beat Donald Trump like we did in 2020. We're going to beat him again. But we need all of you to get this done, all of you. Look, I came back I was in a situation where I didn't have a good debate. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years. I've led the economy back from the brink of collapse. It's still improving. We got more to do. I lowered prescription drug prices. I've worked with Republicans to expand veterans' health care. This is the same guy, by the way. When I was over in Normandy, I wanted to go to World War I cemetery. And this is the same cemetery he stood with his former four-star general, Chief of Staff Kelly, when he was there. And he said, didn't want to go because there are losers and whiners. My son died because of a year in Iraq. And this guy's talking to these guys about being losers and whiners. He has no respect for anybody. I really mean it. And look, a couple of Republicans jumped in and helped me expand health care. Now, for example, you remember, because you reported on it, that when the Agent Orange was being dropped on people's heads during the Vietnam War, that they said they'd be compensated. But guess what? They couldn't prove that the specific problem they have is because of Agent Orange. I changed that in the bill that I got passed, that we wrote. And the same way with my son. I was in and out of Iraq many times. He was there for a year. He volunteered to go. He lived just about a quarter mile from what they call a burn pit. These are the size of football fields, 10 feet deep, to dump everything from human waste to pollution in there, and they burn it. And all those fumes. The reason why he came back, went with a very healthy man, came back with stage 4 glioblastoma, more brain injuries in that war than any other war. And he died. I'll be damned if I let this president talk about veterans the way he talked. Now we have all those folks who are around those burn pits and all those folks in Agent Orange. They now, over a million of them, now are getting the benefits that their families deserve. We only have one sacred obligation. That's to prepare those we send into harm's way and care for them and their families when they come home. And now we're finally beginning to do that. But look, here's the deal. You know, 90 minutes on stage, as I said, I've done this, what I've done in the last 3.5 years is, by the way, it's not quite, well, by the way, you asked me about black jobs. You know what he's doing. It's shameful. He's talking about black jobs, meaning all the things that blacks can do are manual labor, menial labor. That's what he's doing. That's how he looks at it. Name me something he's done to help the black community, give people a shot like I've done in college and education and home buying and a whole range of things. This is the guy that questioned George Floyd's humanity, led to the birther movement against Barack Obama. You know, this is a guy who said Barack Obama, that black guy, he wasn't born in America, and he kept it going, lying like hell. Just like he lied like hell about what's going on anyway. But look, he's falsely accused of Central Park Five. Those guys who were arrested, he said they should all be convicted and they were innocent. He won't even acknowledge that. And by the way, I'm proud that I had the first black vice president in American history. And I'm proud to have appointed, I said, more black women in the Supreme Court, more black women in the federal courts and circuit courts than any other president, all presidents combined. Look, we can't waste talent in America. There's so much talent in the black community. All people, my dad used to say, everybody just deserves a shot. It's an even shot. That's all it is, just an even shot. And we have to invest more in education. I plan like hell to make sure. Look, there's a lot of folks coming from broken homes in the black and white communities. But we learned a lot of through significant studies in my administration that if you have preschool at age 3, 4, and 5, no matter what the background is, you have a 56% better chance of going through 12 years of school and doing it well. And I think community college should be free. It would save America money. It would increase productivity in America. Just give people a chance. And I tell you what, the idea that you guys are reporting this on the 4th of July, just a little bit, I'm so short of the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, is really important. We cannot let this guy win. It'd just be a disaster for America. And by the way, it's not just me. I'll end with there are 15 Nobel laureates, 14, I think, 14 or 15 Nobel laureates in the economy. They said if he's reelected, he's going to cause a recession. And he's let out what he wants to do the second term. He said he's going to cause a recession, and we're going to have a significant rise in interest rates. They looked at mine, and they said what Biden's going to do if he's reelected, he's going to make sure interest rates come down. There's going to be a soft landing. We're going to be able to continue to grow the economy. The economy has never grown faster than under me, and we're going to make sure it does, but it includes everybody. We're unique in all the world. All the world. We're the only nation that's organized based on an idea, not ethnicity, not race, not religion, on an idea. And that is, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women are created equal, endowed by their creator. We've never fully lived up to it, but we've never, ever, ever, ever walked away from it. We got to get closer and closer to it. He wants to walk away from it completely. I'm sorry. I feel so strongly about this, that particularly as it affects hardworking people in minority communities.
President Biden, it is and has been an honor and a privilege to have had this opportunity. I want to say to you that you're talking to a man who's followed you for 45 years, watched your career, and predicted that President Obama was going to make you his vice president. So I'm speaking for all the civic media.
Thank you so much to our pal Earl Ingram. Very special coverage. Joe Biden in Madison. We're doing it live, baby. July 5th. We're back early from the holiday. Your calls are welcome here, 844-967-2789. But next, Earl Ingram, star of stage, stream, and radio. He's the guy that interviewed the president. We join. He joins.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Friday, July 5th edition. Joe Biden in my hometown, Madison, Wisconsin. But you heard the interview with my good friend Earl Ingram from Civic Media. Plays on the Beast of the East, 540 AM and other stations. Check your local listings. And Earl joins us right now live via phone. Earl, you are famouser today than you've ever been in your life, buddy. Hello, Earl. Earl. Oh, no, I think he's having a Biden moment. Check the handset. Just see if our pal Earl's standing by. He might have gotten momentarily distracted by family. Who knows? But anyways, as I was saying, Joe Biden in my hometown today. I was just there, sort of over on the north side off Aberg Avenue. And so anyways, I saw President Joe Biden, but I was very, very proud of Earl Ingram. Earl, welcome to the show. Earl, oh no. You know, I wonder if they didn't program our phones today. That could be a problem. 844-967-2789. I'm going to check Don real quick. Don, can you hear me? Welcome, Don. So the phones aren't working, team. We'll check back in with Earl. But let me tell you, I is very, very proud of Earl because Earl got the interview of a lifetime. Maybe not the exclusive of a lifetime. Let's not hope it's for Earl's sake, let's not hope it's the only time he ever gets the president of the United States. But I had to be a little envious of my pal Earl. Not only did he get the first interview with the president, Joe Biden, and the question, of course, you know, has this guy got the figure? Has this guy got it going on? And Earl, you just heard the interview here on the Devil's Advocates, courtesy to the Earl Ingram Show and Civic Media. But you heard, and you can draw your own conclusions. But I saw Earl on CNN over the weekend. I saw Earl in the Washington Post. I hear he was in the BBC. I saw him at the Hill, Politico, certainly in the Journal Sentinel and local listings. I saw that Dan Bice wrote up my pal Earl, and I hope he's listening. Bice from the Journal Sentinel, the Page Six guy. So I tease Bice sometimes on the air because he sees himself as a esteemed journalist, if you will. And I tease him because he writes many of the gossip articles. But he kind of gave Earl a hard time. He said, you know, Earl asked the president some softballs. And I'm like, well, you're writing up his softball interview, if that's your perception. And I thought that Joe Biden and my pal Earl had a real human moment. And I think that Joe, and we've seen this quote all across the nation, all across the world. Everybody's quoting Earl's interview with Joe Biden. So, anyways, I admire Earl and the interview he got. And I look forward to being able to speak with Earl, hopefully at some point soon. 844-967-2789. President Joe Biden was just speaking in Madison. And it was something of a defiant crowd. Defiant in that they were fired up, ready to go. They were in a festive mood. And it was starting to get a little stuffy in the gym. Like a gymnasium, middle school gymnasium. You know, one of the guys in the crowd, I believe his name's Roe, R-O-E. One of the guys in the crowd told me that he had reffed basketball games in that gymnasium. He's like, this thing's barely big enough for a basketball game. But they had a little mini riser in the front for President Biden today. And they had, you know, the customary, they always have some people on the risers behind him. So anyways, Joe came out and he had a number of people that fired up the crowd for him, got him warmed up. There were some activists and there were some electeds. Mayor Satya from Madison, Wisconsin, she warmed up the crowd in part for President Joe Biden. And my congressman was there. I saw Mark Pocan. Always great seeing Mark. Now, that is a public stance. Pocan had to come out publicly today, just so you know the local dynamic, right? There are congresspeople coming out saying just the opposite of what Mark said. There are congresspeople, Democratic congresspeople, currently throwing this guy under the bus. And the question is, can Joe Biden overcome this? And he comes to Madison under a lot of scrutiny today. And he will do a speech tonight. Pardon me, let me restate. He will do an interview. And that's not something he does a lot of. And that's why it was so newsworthy when our pal Earl got the first post-debate interview. And now Stephanopoulos gets like the third. I get a slightly larger audience, but anyways. 844-967-2789. We'll try the phones again. And we'll see if we can pick up our pal Earl here in just a moment. But again, to the rally today in Madison. And Joe Biden was just in Madison. They closed this thing down like 15 minutes before I had to be on the air with you fine people. So I was hustling. Came driving over. Yeah, let's see if we can get Earl this time. Earl, can you hear me? Nope, it's not working. So anyways, that's disappointing because Earl had such a big day. I wanted to bring you Earl. Maybe after 4 o'clock, the phones will be working. We'll see. Got the tech crew working on it right now behind the scenes. So I just got to tell you a little bit more about Madison. So Pocan, my congressman, good Democrat, progressive guy, right? I mean, Mark's been out there on the whole issue of Gaza and being supportive of the Palestinians. And obviously, this is a tough position. This puts him sometimes at the opposite side of his president, Joe Biden. And Mark, you know, in light of the fact it's been just a week yesterday since the debate, and it's July 5th, but the political faithful, they're paying very close attention to every step that Joe Biden makes right now. But also those around Joe Biden, they're looking for the tells. Well, what's the Democratic, the progressive congressman, the pro-Gaza congressman from Madison going to do? Well, Mark went out on the stage today and gave Joe Biden lots of love and support. And if there was anything he was holding back, didn't show to me. I've seen Mark speak in public. I thought this was a very energized effort. You know who was the most energized? Ben Wickler. He was fired up, ready to go. Now, I have invited Ben to join the Cavalcade of Stars here today. We'll have to see if we can work Ben in during the big show, because he's still probably got the president in town. It is my impression that Stephanopoulos might be doing that interview with Joe in Madison before Joe departs on Air Force One. So anyways, I got the hell out of there quickly. Ben was the most fired up. Most fired up I have ever seen Ben Wickler was today. And I mean, it was a big crowd relative to the, you know, middle school gymnasium space. But, you know, Ben gave a hell of a speech, hell of a warm-up. Mark Pocan came out and publicly stood with his president. And Tony Evers, the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, and I will readily admit, lot of affection in the room. They were chanting, Tony, 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 before he came out and gave his speech. And I tease the governor of Wisconsin because he's not always known as a dynamic speaker in his own regard. And he's not the youngest guy. So if you want to make Joe Biden look good and also understand the metrics of this over the course of the last couple of days, every Democratic governor in the nation had met with Joe Biden or had been part of a press call or a more accurately, I guess, a Democratic governor's call. And a lot of them had even gone to the White House to meet with this guy and judge for themselves. And what did Joe Biden told them? Going to go to bed a little bit earlier, take a few more naps, going to get more sleep. You know, although this seems like a poor answer coming out of the room. Sort of fits with the caricature of Sleepy Joe, if you know what I'm saying. That's not a good look. But anyways, Tony Evers, and Tony was a little profane, as Tony occasionally is. And I was teasing Ruth Conniff from Wisconsin Examiner. She was standing in front of me, and I was, you know, trying to be a little chivalrous and hold a little position because it was a crammed room full of people and media, standing room only for the media at this event. I have a sore back for you people today, on my feet quite a bit. But Evers made Biden look good. And Evers was supportive. And, you know, there had been some question, and Evers' team had come on and said, you know, there should not be a question. Tony Evers is campaigning with the president on Friday. Of course he stands with Biden. But there's been a question of every Democratic governor in this nation. Do you stand with Joe? And every single one had been on a list, either, you know, part of a call, drawn to the White House. And Tony Evers was the only one not on that list. But today, Tony, that crowd was fired up and ready to go. They wanted to show enthusiasm for their team. They wanted to show it's not just the MAGA Trumpsters that have enthusiasm for their electeds. Certainly, this was an energized crowd. We're going to play that speech, Joe Biden's speech in Madison, in the 4 o'clock hour. So hang tight for that. I don't know if we're going to be able to work Earl in or not. They are working on this behind the scenes. So we will work on bringing Earl to the big party because, you know, it's a time he should be acknowledged for the hard work he's done for years and years and years, and now he's an overnight success. That's the way it goes, Earl. You work your whole life. You work your ass off, and at 70, you're an overnight success. So we'll get to Earl, hopefully. And a defiant Joe Biden in Madison. It was a fired-up speech, and I think the crowd really fed off the enthusiasm of the president. And, you know, I'm not going to say that Joe didn't misspeak one iota. That would be a lie, because you know Joe Biden. I mean, hell, during the course of the last 30 minutes talking to you nice people, I've misspoken a couple times. It happens. You don't have to be Joe Biden. Don't have to whatever to misspeak occasionally. So I give him a little bit of grace on the misspeaking. I have to. I misspeak often. But I can tell you the enthusiasm, the vigor. Well, it started with Ben Wickler, and it certainly came through the Joe Biden speech today. And, you know, I did talk to my buddy Earl, or at least we spoke and traded some text. And I said, how did Joe do? And he said, decent. You know, he didn't say, well, he killed it. Won a grand salami like the Brewers keep hitting. He did decent. And I did hear the interview, and I think that Earl did more than decent getting some information, having a human connection with the guy in the White House. 18 minutes, that's a pretty good interview with the sitting president when you're a local, no offense to Earl, but when you're a local radio host in Wisconsin. I mean, I've been doing this 13 years. They never even implied they were going to put him on this fine program. So we're going to check if the gremlins are gone. We'll see if we can advance forward with this fine program. We're hoping to play Joe Biden's speech in the 4 o'clock hour. And we'd like to make it available to you. So you can join us via the phones at 844-967-2789. In the meantime, let's see if the text lines are working. It's got to be some trash talking Devils fan out there that can let me know if the text lines are working. I'll know momentarily. Oh, yeah. Cam, you're the first trash texter today. More Devils advocates on the other side. We're doing it live, baby. July 5th. I think we threw gremlins in the works. I blame Joe Biden. He threw like a firecracker in my 4th of July plans. And now we're going to share with you. He was vigorous. He was defiant. He was Joe Biden. He was your president. Come back. More Devils advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates, a very special July 5th edition. President Joe Biden in my hometown, Madison, Wisconsin, and a very special guest. We're going to give her another spin. It's Earl Ingram. Can you hear me, Earl?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes,
there's sir. Earl. Nice. Earl, you got famous this week. Famouser.
Well, I thought fame came with money, so I don't think I'm famous.
Yeah, you and I both, fella. You and I both. Earl, I've never been prouder of you. Obviously, you know, years and years of hard work paid off because the president came calling on you, sir. And you got the first post-debate interview with President Joe Biden, my understanding, in the nation, Earl. And the world is listen to excerpts. We shared it with our audience earlier today. Earl, I've never been prouder, fellow man. I am so excited for you.
Well, you know, Crudy, man, as I said before, you picked me up off the scrap heap. And I thought my 15 minutes of fame in radio was over. And you gave me an opportunity. And I wouldn't be, you know, where I am now had you not given me an opportunity and had some faith in me and confidence in me to put me back on the airways.
Well, Earl, only negative. Let me ask you. Sometimes hosts like yourself are commoditized and they're called black radio hosts. Earl, I know your audience is a hell of a lot more than just black radio. So I'm glad that they come to speak to you, but does it ever bother you as a black man, Earl, that it seems like they commoditize the black community?
Well, you know, Creed, that's a great question because once upon a time I was a black radio host. And I thought that, I mean, that was all I knew, you know, but having an opportunity to connect with you, you gave me an opportunity to broaden my scope and allow me to become a radio host. And to me, that's the most important thing is that I'm accepted as a radio host. But as you stated, the Biden campaign did refer to me as a black radio host. And yeah, I don't think they understand. They don't understand the listening audience that we have.
Well, that's okay, Earl. We'll get them educated. What was your impression of the president? This was a very important interview, Earl, and you got it. And, of course, the question is, what about the vigor, the vitality of the candidate? He was less than vigorous on debate night, Earl.
Hey, Crudy, he's 82 years old, 81 years old. And, as I said to him, I remember him, if I followed him 45 years or more. And I remember the vigorous Joe Biden. I remember Joe Biden before he had the brain surgery. And Joe Biden was a hell raiser. And, he's certainly not that guy. And to expect him to be anywhere near that guy would be foolhardy. But he's not the guy that he was, to be quite frank with you, Crudy, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Or even a year ago. And, again, you're talking about a guy who's followed him for a lot of years. And so I just think it's difficult to put a man of that age in the most powerful seat in the world at his age. I think just from my perspective, you know, he should be in the latter years of his life enjoying his family, Crudy, not, you know, having the weight of the entire world on his shoulders.
I know he could play the role of elder statesman, perhaps, and step away. Earl, you've been asked a lot in the last couple of days. Does the man give you any indication, did he during that interview, that he was planning on stepping away?
Absolutely not. You know, Crudy, I thought his family would say to him, you know, Dad, Granddad, you've done all these things. You've sacrificed or given 40, 50 years of your life to this. Enjoy the remaining years of your life with your grandchildren and, you know, and reconnect with your family. But to put that kind of burden and pressure on him, Crudy, I think is not right. I think the Democratic Party is not right for expecting a man who clearly should be enjoying the last years of his life in this position is not right.
Well, I can tell you he was vigorous in Madison today, Earl, and we are going to play some of the Joe Biden speech in the 4 o'clock hour. I think it's important for people to hear him. Earl, it sounds to me like you're not convinced, and I think it will be just a matter of days. If Joe Biden's going to step away from the presidency, from this most powerful office in the world, he's going to have to do so in the next week or so, Earl. This cannot malinger for days and weeks and months. They can't keep asking the man. He can't keep addressing his bad debate performance at campaign stops months from now. You know what I mean? Either he puts it to bed or this campaign's got to get put to bed, Earl.
You know, Crudy, you used the term he was vigorous. I'm trying to envision Joe Biden being vigorous. You saw him. I didn't.
He was like a mischievous grandfather. He'd tell a joke and then he'd grin as the audience would respond. He was like a happy jokester today in Madison.
Okay, I guess my definition of vigorous is a little bit different, but maybe for a 81 year old guy, that's pretty good. But Crudy, I just do believe that for Democrats to say there's no one else that we have that can beat Donald Trump, and that an 81-year-old man is it. This is it. This is all we have. Says a lot about a Democratic Party. And I'm a supporter of Democrats, Crudy. But to say there is no one else other than Joe Biden, an 81-year-old man, doesn't that say something, Crudy?
It does, buddy.
A good sign.
Earl, out of time, man. Only one man to listen to in the mornings, Earl Ingram, 8 to 10 a.m., WAUK 540 a.m. We'll come back with Joe Biden's speech in the 4 o'clock hour.